imagine you're walking down the streets of New Orleans, and they have the balconies. You have people above, and they're on the balconies, and they're cheering you on. Or they're in the gutters, and they're grabbing your ankles.
You've got the concept, and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur Podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and want more people on your email list, or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. I have all the goods for you, peeps, and all I need you to do is take some action. Guys, I've had such a wonderful week, and I'm really so very grateful to you all. I have officially filled up all of my coaching and consulting spots, and I have a few of you on waitlist. I am so sorry, but I really do look forward to working with you all and bringing all of my experience and all of my knowledge to you and making you successful. That's why I'm here. Also, be sure to look for my articles on HuffPost. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you for writing to me. Quite a few of you have written to me on Facebook and my email. And it really motivates me to read all of your, you know, your stories and your where you are in life and your entrepreneur journey. And it really motivates me to do more amazing interviews and get more guests on this show. I'm really thankful and very grateful to it. One of those amazing guests today is Heather Ann Havenwood. Heather is the CEO of Havenwood Worldwide, LLC, and she's a chief sexy boss, is a serial entrepreneur, and is regarded as a top authority on internet marketing, business strategies, and marketing. Since marketing her first online business in 1999, yes, she has been doing this for a while. She knows what she's doing. Bringing together clients and personal coaches, she has played an active role in the online marketing world since before most even had a home computer. Some of her list building tips are really spot on, and she echoes the same sentiment that I have when I asked her about one piece of advice for the first time entrepreneur. She said, give yourself permission to fail. That's one of the big things that I talk about a lot is the mindset shifts of, hey, it's okay to fail because you are going to. The point is when you fail, do you get up? And when you get up, where do you go? I'm sure you're going to enjoy this today with Heather, and I will see you on the flip side.
Hi, Heather. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am so excited and so happy to have you on because you are a fellow ex-Houstonian.
Ex-Houstonian and currently in Texas. So we're Texan women here. So this is going to be a fun podcast, Texan women.
I am telling you. Yes, and Texas women are fun. So yes, you got it. We're going to rock this today.
Yes.
So Heather, you've been like the girl on the block for a while.
Yes.
You went through a little bit of a rough patch. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what happened. Tell us how you're back now with a bang.
Thank you. I love that. I do share the book, share it in my book, The Sexy Boss on Amazon. But let me tell you a little bit about me and what I call rise from the dust. I started in the information market industry, which is what I call all this. Podcasting and webinars and coaching is the information marketing industry back in 2001, mainly because I lost my job and I saw an infomercial and the infomercial said, do you want to own your own business? And I'm like, yeah. So mm-hmm. I went to this little seminar and didn't have any money, but I had this thing called a Gold American Express card. They hadn't cut me off yet. And I bought the seminar. And long story short, the people in the back of the room, the ones running the event, were like, we like you. Why don't you travel with us? So I started traveling around the world, around the country, doing seminars in real estate. Remember, this is 2001. So, you know, everything was booming and banging and buying houses and foreclosures and doing all kinds of fun things in the information marketing world in like real estate. Buy, close, sell. And I was doing real estate investing myself. Of course, I was teaching it, traveling the country doing that. And then there's this thing called it blew up, right? So in 2006, 2007, I never experienced that. This is my first time as a youngster in that market. I didn't understand that real estate was X and 2 months later it could be like negative X. I didn't really get the concept of that. I was riding the horse. And anyway, I also at the same time took on a business partner and started creating information products in that space. And I was like the I was his partner, but I was also the ones running everything. He was the face and I was running everything. I think as women, we're very good at managing a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So I built the business. He was the face. And there's this thing called contracts that I didn't really
wow, yeah.
I didn't really read them, I guess, or understand that. And one day I came home and from a seminar and everything was gone. So house was negative, business is gone, bills still coming. Yeah, so 2000, that was 2006, and I got wiped out. Foreclosure, bankruptcy, the whole thing. It was a life lesson, you know, because I think I coming from where I came from, my parents were divorced. I had a lot of hardship kind of growing up back and forth. It was making money for me was that one thing, like I can do that. Like, I'm never, you know, I might get divorced, whatever, but I'll never go bankrupt. Mm-hmm. I'm smart. I had that going on. That was my little ego around it. And this was like the thing that brought me to my knees. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of the, I didn't step back up immediately. I didn't. I took 2 years of like sulking in my milk, I guess, and just kind of, oh, I don't know what to do. I mean, I did it. I did that. I really sulked for like 2 years. And I actually lived on an island and did nothing for 2 years. I just kind of stared out in the ocean for a while. Wasn't sure. Kind of questioned everything. And then I think I just woke up to, I want more than this. I feel like I'm dying. I'm moving on. And I packed up, moved to Austin, Texas from an island in Florida. And I said, I'm going to start something new. And I started an information marketing business from nothing. And here we are. That was, I guess, almost six, 7 years ago. So I've been doing this full time ever since. I think there's just something that clicks, you know, just like a switch that just went, I'm done. I'm going to own this. If I failed, and let's move on. Let's create something new. Let's go after something. I don't want to have this kind of life of just sulking the rest of my life. And yeah, that's pretty much what happened. So that's where I'm at now.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for sharing that with us because I think it takes a lot to, you know, put your personal emotions out there. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There's so many things that we can take away from that. It's crazy. And when you came back into the world, were you like, oh my gosh, where am I going to start from? Did you ever feel like going back again?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what was weird? It was like coming back into the world because I did go on an island for 2 years. I got to a point where I didn't know what day it was, what time it was. I think Ronald Reagan died or something. Didn't know. You know, there was all kinds of things that were going. The world could have blown up and I was like, I don't even know. I did come back into the world, and Austin's a great place. I came back home because Texas is home for me. My sister's here. My mom was here. And I was coming back into a very positive place. Austin's positive. It's full of entrepreneurs. And I knew I wanted that. So I wanted to surround myself this time with people that were up to something. You know what I mean? In the area that I lived in Marco, in Florida, people were dying. Like the average age was 85, and I was like the only two people on the whole island. Nothing wrong with that. They were great people. Right, but it was kind of this, what were people up to? The vibration was all about like, I'm about to die, and they're just like kind of hanging out, you know? And so I think when I came back, it wasn't easy. I'm not kidding. I hadn't had an apartment. I had no credit. I had no cash. I had nothing. And I didn't have a fallback. I wasn't married. I didn't have this, well, honey, can I borrow some money? I didn't have that. It was me and my dog in my car. And I had to just kind of scrape by for a long time until I could figure it out. And there were times that I thought, I just want to go back to that little hole in Marco Island.
Right.
By the pool with the tiki hut. That's not right now. But at the same time, I knew I want more in my life. And right. I knew it was going to take a lot. But I think the key piece for me is from being a woman was I knew I had to kind of find myself because I knew the mistakes I'd made last time, which was I had run with the big, I call the big boys, and then tried to be like them and not be myself and not really do what I'm good at. I was trying to emulate them versus, you know, what am I good at and how can I shine and how can I give to the world? And that's been a journey. It wasn't an overnight journey. It's still a journey of figuring out my way through what I call the big boys in business, you know, because that's what's out there right now. And a lot of them are my friends. But that doesn't mean that that's who I am. So right. I think that's been the journey is figuring that out. And I think, you know, my other business is I teach men how to date women. That's the business I started. The reason I did that, people always ask me, I don't gotta, it's not like I woke up one day and like, I wanna teach men about women. it was this, and I get this question a lot from women. Like, I've actually had women get in my face and get mad at me about it.
Oh, wow.
Like, how dare you? I'm like, I looked at her and I said, what you need to know is every time I help a man understand one woman, I've helped at least 3 or 4 women in the world. I've helped his mother if he has a sister or an aunt and possibly wife or ex-wife because he just doesn't get how we are.
Right.
And it's not like we're completely weird. They just think we're crazy and I just explain it that we just think differently. And from that perspective, then there's communication and there's a shift. And she's looked at me and was like, oh, so you're helping women. I'm like, yes. I help women. The other reason I took that on was at the time of end of my road, someone said to me, you should teach men how to date women because no one can question you on that.
Right.
You know, and I thought, you know what? They're right. No one can say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, yeah, I do. I'm a woman. It's right there. I have my credentials. And at the time,
you know,
I had self-confidence issues. So it was the way for me to move through that.
I love that. And, you know, that is so profound, what you just said, because that's literally the way anybody in the online world or even a product-based business can literally stand out, right? Mm-hmm. What is your unfair advantage, right? What is it that you're good at that is you? So I think that is amazing. And, you know, I do want to take away I love a few things that you said. And then one thing that keeps coming back to me is you're the average of 5 people that you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess when you came into Austin, you were just like, okay, this is it. You know, I'm not going to like be there and not do anything. And I'm just going to get up and do it. Right.
Absolutely. Luckily, they started the Internet Marketing Party here the year I came.
Yes.
And I was actually at the very first one.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it was, I laugh about it now if anyone knows about the party. It's a great party. They call it a party. It's just a massive networking. It was me and about 10 other people, and we're at this bar, and we literally were in a circle. And we just passed the mic around like, hi, my name is Heather, and I own a website. And then, like, you pass it on. That was the whole thing. And David Gonzalez is the leader of that. But that's honestly what kept me going. I went every single month because it was the constant surrounding myself with other people and what's going on in the industry. And then it grew. Now it's, I mean, now when I go to an event, I don't know half the people anymore. It's like 250 people and I'm meeting people. So but that's been, we just had I think David had his 5th year anniversary.
Nice.
But you do have to surround yourself with people that are thinking like you, either virtually. I have people on Skype that I do, or physically. You know, you have to keep yourself in the right mindset. And that's actually one of my key rules. You actually asked me that, my personal motto. Mm-hmm. I was going to share that. Can I share that?
Yeah, absolutely. Go
for it. Yeah, so it's one of my main personal mottos. I actually have them up on my near my desk every day. I look at them. But my number one mm-hmm. is never keep anyone in my life that's not part of my fan club.
Ooh, nice. I like that.
Yeah. And
so you're constantly surrounded by positive people. So all good things are happening all the time.
I think so. I think I'm part of their fan club and they're part of my fan club. And yeah. how someone described it to me once, if someone says, well, how do you know if they're part of this is another coach described this to me, and I just love this mm-hmm. visual. He said, imagine you're walking down the streets of New Orleans, and they have the balconies. You have people above, and they're on the balconies, and they're cheering you on. Or they're in the gutters, and they're grabbing your ankles.
Oh, wow.
Now, place all the people in your life, and then you will see right then where they land. They're going to be either in the gutter, or they're going to be on that balcony going, we believe in you, you're awesome. And that's when you see who's in your fan club.
Man, I love that. I love that visual.
Yeah, it's simple, right?
Because I'm walking down there now. I'm like, oh, man, okay.
Wow. Yeah, I love that. Because at the time in my life when he shared that, all the people that I was loyal to, that I placed my loyalty in, mm-hmm. in that exercise, it was like a realization of they're in the gutters and they're not fans of me. I'm the one pushing that relationship.
Right.
They're really not right. cheering me on. They're, you know, right. using me or whatever. They need right. something from me. So that's when it just hit me that I'll never keep anyone in my life that's not part of my fan club in my circle.
I love that. I love that. Awesome. Absolutely. It does. So let's get into some strategies.
Sure.
So you started with no lists.
Correct.
No leads, no nothing. Correct. Let's talk about, for a newbie, how do they become an expert in their niche?
Okay, there's two questions there. There's how to create a list and then how to become an expert.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay, okay.
Yes. Let's start with the list.
All right.
First.
So list building. I think there's two ways to build a list in this industry. Either you are the owner of the product and you either buy media or you have somebody else, you know, push your product for you, or you do something to create traffic. Like right now I'm doing podcasts. This is creating traffic. Okay. So I'm giving my time at some level, giving content, and then hopefully you go to my site. All right. So that's a way to build a list. It's building traffic. The other piece of that, though, is having a product. Now, not everyone wants to have a product. The reason I'm what I call separating that or uncollapsing that is people think that you have to have a product. When you become an expert, you don't have to have a product unless you want to become the expert and you don't want to what I call push everybody else's products. Does that make sense? So for myself, I'm not very good at creating products. It's not my specialty. My specialty is affiliate marketing and list building and then pushing other people's products and making those commissions. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. I had that down.
Okay.
And so when you're looking at what you want to create, if you're just wanting to build a list, you can build a list in any niche. But you don't have to be the expert in it. If you want to become an expert in something, like I'm the expert in how to create a towing company or how to build a hot dog stand or how to be a consultant in XYZ kind of companies, you can do that without necessarily creating a product. You're the product. Mm-hmm. And so there's two different questions there. So I just kind of wanted to separate that. When I started, it was a self-creation. I'm now an expert teaching men how to date women. And I did create a product. To help that. However, over the years, my strength is really the list building and the copywriting and helping and selling other people's products. Because what I found is there's a lot of great products out there and I can make really good money selling other people's products, not necessarily mine.
A lot of people don't realize, but definitely a couple of things that is very true that you mentioned is traffic is different from actually converting.
Yeah.
To list. I mean, you could be doing affiliate marketing, you could be doing direct marketing, you could be doing, you know, you could have like five different products, but the bottom line is you have to have that list, right? Otherwise, who do you market to?
The list is the key. I guess what I want to say is you don't have to be an expert to have a list.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I think that things collapsed a lot. Like, you have to be an expert. Mm-hmm. And then people go, I'm not an expert in anything.
Right.
I'm like, that's not necessarily true.
Yes.
You don't have to be the expert. Let me give you examples. So I have what I call a sublist of fitness for guys. I am not an expert in how to lift weights for guys. My boyfriend happens to be, but that's recent. So I'm not trying to pull content for him. What I am doing is giving these guys the opportunity. If they are interested in fitness, they go on this list. And then I give them opportunities to either purchase or look at other amazing products. Now, my job is to go find great products. Like John Spinson's has a great product. Another guy named Tyler, Garage Warrior, he's got great products for men. And so I work with them on giving these guys great content. It's Tyler's content. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tyler's the expert, not me or John or whoever. Mm-hmm. And then they can purchase or not their products. So in that case, I am not, I'm definitely not out there going, I'm the expert.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I guess I've always wanted to tell people, ladies, you don't have to be the one to be able to build a list. So if you're interested, let's say, in attraction or law of attraction, you don't have to be, you know, Wayne Dyer to build a list of other people that are interested in the same thing.
That's great that you made that distinction, because once you have that list, there are many different ways you can go in which with whatever you have.
Right.
So definitely, I completely agree. And thank you for making that distinction. So let's talk about list building then a little bit. Can you give us some actionable tips? Because I want people to be able to say, oh, my gosh, I used it and it totally worked. So something that people can do, that our entrepreneurs can do maybe right away to build a list, something that you've done and has completely worked for you.
Okay, great. So there's a few things, actionable items. And the thing that's happening right now that I think is overlooked a lot is actually LinkedIn. I really love LinkedIn because LinkedIn has created, first off, it's what I call a closed structure. Facebook is more of an open structure, and so is Twitter. It integrates with a lot of different things, and LinkedIn has created a closed structure. Some people complain about that, but it's actually a beautiful thing. They've created their own little world, and you can become really big in that own little world. And it's also created the publishing aspect, the publishing posting.
Yes.
You now have your blog. So just this last week, I had a coaching client, and I found out that for the last 3 years, he's been very giving, and he has been writing for an industry magazine in his industry. And we went on their site and noticed that he's not being indexed at all. Like, just for whatever reason, their structure is not doing that. And I said, all those articles are yours, and you can post all those on LinkedIn right now.
Right.
He's like, really? Right. I'm like, yeah. You should become, you know, the guy in LinkedIn for that subject. You start posting that right now today, twice a week. He's doing, twice a week consistency in LinkedIn. And he just was like, well, should I put it on my blog? I'm like, actually, LinkedIn has an integrated system right now, and they're getting eyeballs. So I highly suggest right now LinkedIn. Podcasting, of course, I think is fabulous, because all this content right now, I'm not having to write it.
Right.
You're asking, I'm answering, and we didn't pre-plan this. I didn't know what I was going to say. So all this is just real information, real time. So I think podcasting is a huge one. Webinars, of course, is great. Any time that you're putting yourself out there for people to see you or listen to you in a public forum, that is list building. In a perfect world, back in the seminar days, you know, we had these big, huge seminars with like 10,000 people to show up. Those were the ways we did it back then. That was our social media. And now social media is LinkedIn.
Right.
Facebook is very social, and it is good. I'm not a big fan of it to build list. LinkedIn is what I call you're presenting yourself with content. I just like it right now. The system is strong. So I would suggest, for me, I've been putting a lot of time into LinkedIn, and you can go on my LinkedIn profile, and you can see everything I've ever done, ever, down to my volunteer work.
Right.
Down
right.
to I'm actually a Google AdWords certified, totally random. And
wow.
It's totally random. I'm like, but I put it out there. It's true. And I have my master's degree in internet marketing for Full Sail University.
Oh, nice.
There you go. It adds a lot of credibility. And the other thing I've done with LinkedIn is I have been very proactive on getting recommendations. I think I have 10 or more recommendations through their system. And the beauty of that is because it comes from them, it's credible because they're the ones who had to write it.
Right.
That's what I would suggest right now. LinkedIn and podcasting are what I call really hot right now.
Nice. I like it. And how would you say in terms of LinkedIn, if, you know, would you cold email somebody and just say, hey, I'm interested in connecting with you and then kind of take it from there? Do you have any specific strategies in terms of building your list via LinkedIn?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that question comes with a pre-question, which is your avatar, or what I call your Homer. I call it Homer, Homer Simpson, because you want to know who your target market is. And if you can picture Homer Simpson for a second, cartoon, you see who he is, you see his age, you see things he likes, you see what his family looks like, you see what he does every day.
Right.
You want to have your avatar, your Homer Simpson, honed in. Because the beauty of LinkedIn is that when you, I think it's a paid account or some other paid accounts, you can do that kind of research. If it's, you know, men over this age, or at least who are in industrial this, you can find your Homer Simpson, and you begin getting those relationships with a very target market versus kind of a blast. I think it has way better capabilities of finding that than Facebook, because you can see what kind of job they have, the position they have, where they are in the country. It actually tells you. He's put it out there. So I think, honestly, with LinkedIn, the first key is, who is my market? And then tapping into that.
Female, I love that.
Or not.
Yes. And I think that's so important that you just touched on is, you know, a lot of people get into marketing or get into, you know, selling stuff, and they don't really know who their target market is.
No.
They don't know who their avatar is. They don't know what their brand positioning is, you know, all of that stuff. And I think if you really nail down on your avatar or your niche or your Homer, you know, you really, I think there's so much you can really cater to. And then, of course, you know, you can always kind of expand or move away a little bit or add to it. But I think to really have that one avatar and go after that is super important. So thank you for touching on that. It's,
I want to add to that. There's a Ryan Dice's company is actually in here in the backyard, digital marketer. And, over the years, I've known some of the copywriters there, and one of them told me once that when they become a copywriter, let's say for a certain one of their brands, part of their job requirement is actually to have their, now, I don't know if they do this now, but they did when I was talking to him, is create their avatar, the person's name, Jane, you know, and all the things, and literally have it in front of them every day on their desk. So when they're doing their copy, that's who they're talking to.
Right.
Talking to that Jane, Bob, Joe, every day. They see them. So that's key. And when you, just like when you buy a car, all of a sudden you buy your car and all of a sudden you see your car everywhere. You're like, wow, I didn't know there was white Lexuses everywhere. Now I see all these white Lexuses. It's because the moment you get clear on what you want, you start to see it. So LinkedIn's the same thing. If you look at it, like, oh my God, there's all these people. Everyone's my target market. Wrong answer. Create your Jane or your Bob. And then you'll find them.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love that analogy because I go through it all the time. We were, in fact, looking to buy a new car. And I was like, okay, fine. This is I love that Range Rover. For some reason, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm in love with that car. So I was like, okay, let me, you know, let me start looking more into it. And oh, my goodness, I would find a Range Rover. Every second car was a Range Rover. And I'm like, wait, where did all these come from? Because they weren't here before.
Right.
But I guess I just wasn't looking.
Right. Same thing.
Once I knew what I was looking for, I found it everywhere.
The same thing with your business, you know.
Yes, I love that analogy. That's really going to stick with me. I love that. Yeah. So, Heather, is there any quick tips to convert these leads that we're getting?
Okay, great question, too. If you get really clear on who your avatar is, then you know the language that they use. So, for instance, my avatar with my guys in the dating list is very clear. I'm very clear on what they want and the kind of language that they use. Let me give you a clear example. So, and women will understand this. Mm-hmm. Men do not think of dating as a relationship. So women think of relationship. So if I say to my boyfriend or a woman says to her husband, we need to talk about our relationship. He has this like glazed look on his face. Like, what's that mean? Because
right.
Women think of the relationship as a third entity. So there's me and there's you, honey. And then there's our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ask any man that, he'll go, I don't know. What is that? I don't understand. Why is there a third entity here? Like, they don't understand that. So that's the language I would not use. Like, how to build your relationship better would be for women, okay? How to, get more action in the bedroom with your wife or your lover.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Click. Okay.
So right.
You want to have the right language to convert them and what they want, not what you want them to have. Mm-hmm. So that's the key piece is go with the conversation in their mind whenever you're trying to convert them to a click, to an email opt-in, to listen to your podcast. You want to make sure, being clear on your avatar, what kind of language they want and what they're actually saying, if that makes any sense. So the relationship one is always a key piece whenever I tell women that, and they always go, what do you mean they don't? They don't see that. It's, of course, it's a third entity. That's because that's how we think.
Right.
Women think of, we need to go to counseling to talk about our relationship.
Right.
And men are like, I don't get that. Why would we need to talk about our relationship with a stranger? So the language is key in how you present, but also the visualization. So images, how do you convert, attract a certain person to click on or go to your either a Facebook ad, your LinkedIn profile, whatever, you want to make sure that that avatar is going to be attracted to that imagery. Mm-hmm. So that's the key piece of conversion. And for me, when I'm dealing with all kinds of copywriting and every time I'm doing copy, my copy is all about getting the click. It's all about getting them to the next page. It's all about getting them to the next step, which gets them down to the shopping cart.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Definitely. And I think, you know, the fact that you do affiliate marketing and you have so many different products that you're selling. So you must be like the queen of copy. Because you're like, okay, this guy here, this is yours. Here, you here, this is yours.
I am. I do up to 3 to 4 emails to my list a day because it's segmented out.
Right. Wow. Okay. And then do you, each segment is getting one a day.
No, some are getting 2 or 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the and so people go, what the heck? It depends on the market.
Uh-huh.
It also depends on the kind of list it is. But I think if anyone sat here right now and said, well, I get an email in the morning and then I don't see it, it just gets buried, and then I might get one at night. So that's part of it. It's because whatever I send out, let's say it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and then it might get buried. Okay, throughout the day. And then if I send something, let's say, after working hours, 6 or 7 o'clock at night, all of a sudden they're looking at their email in a different perspective. If they're seeing their email at 7 a.m., they're thinking one way, Monday through Friday. If they're looking at their email at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, they're in a different mindset. So you want to capture those different mindsets. It's like TV. You know, TV has different kind of programming at 7 a.m. than it does at 7 p.m. Same channel, different time zones. A different time, and it's different kind of programming. It's because we think differently at different times.
Oh my goodness! Interesting. So you're in your list. Have you gotten any flack to say, "Hey, you're sending me too many emails," or not?
For me, in my email, no, because I set them up that way. I set it up that way, and if they do unsubscribe, then they unsubscribe.
Right. So that's great because you've kind of conditioned your list to expect that from you.
Correct.
Right. At this point, they're like, okay, yes, I know that, you know, I'm going to get an email from Heather. That's interesting.
The key piece is to think about the programming. If you, you know, click on ABC at 7 a.m. and click on ABC news channel at 7 p.m. versus noon soap operas. You know, 7 p.m. is news, 7 a.m. is probably news or something. And instead of 7 to 8 o'clock, it's the prime channels. You think about that. That's how we're conditioned. We've been conditioned like that for years. Mm-hmm. Why are we conditioned the same way on email?
Right.
During the day, we're in business mode. During the evening, we're in relaxation mode. So we want to be more entertained, or we want to just read, or we want to relax.
Right.
We'll buy stuff. So that I look at it as we're already conditioned.
Right.
Why would I go against that conditioning? I want to go with the conditioning of the society and how we're already conditioned. And TV knows best.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Email is just another form of media. That's how I see it.
Nice.
That's my little take.
Nice. No, I like that. Absolutely. And I think that's so true. So Heather, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice, what would it be?
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
If you're in Texas, get a gun.
I'm a pro Texas gun girl, so if you don't like that,
yeah.
So sorry. Okay. First-time entrepreneur. Wow. Thick skin. Female, it would be different female male, actually. Female, I would say, gotta have some thick skin.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing I would say is entrepreneurship means that you don't stop working at 6 p.m. It means you work at 6 and 8, 9 o'clock at night, weekends. There is no necessarily time off. You have to create that time off. You create that. There is no more ask permission. The biggest challenges I have when I'm coaching clients, and I coach a lot of first-time entrepreneurs, and that's my gift, is I work with them on their conditioning. And that is, we're taught from kindergarten to raise our hand to go to the bathroom. We're taught to raise our hand to speak in kindergarten when we're six, all the way through, depending on how far you went in the education. We're taught to ask permission to make sure we're doing it right. And then in entrepreneurial world, all that has to be stripped away, and you have to literally do it and then just ask yourself for the permission to go forward. And there is no more permission. The consumer will tell you if you're doing it right, if they're buying or not.
Right. Right.
And there is no necessarily perfect rules, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a key piece, is giving yourself permission to fail. That's my advice. One, get thick skin. Two, give yourself permission to fail.
Yes, absolutely. I love that. Awesome. And are you ready for a lightning round?
Yes. Lightning rounds were fun.
Yes. And this is where we get to know you more intimately.
Thank you.
So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
So on my 40th birthday this last weekend, I did a contest, a NPC bodybuilding figure contest. So what trophy would I want on my mantle? I'd want what they call an IFBB pro figure card, which is a card slash, you know, big trophy, being pro. That's very hard to do in that world. And I'd love to see my name on that trophy.
Wow, neat. Well, we would like to see it too. So definitely. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Chocolate, dark chocolate. You're welcome to send me some if you'd like.
Isn't it? I know, right?
Dark chocolate, 70% or more. Yeah, I'm a huge chocolate freak.
Yes. What are you currently reading?
Game of Life by Florence Scovel Shen.
Okay.
It's always on my... I reread it a lot. So Game of Life, she's passed away, but that book just has so many nuggets that every time I read it in different parts of my life, I get something new. And since I just turned 40, then I guess maybe I'm rereading it.
Right. Neat. And what is your one productivity hack?
Turn off cell phone.
Yes.
Social media, turn off Skype, cell phone, just turn it off. That's my one big productivity hack.
Great. And do you set, times and say, okay, 2 hours, I'm just going to work on this?
I do, but the mm-hmm. big one is that I have a list in front of me, things I do, but honestly, mm-hmm. the thing is turning off the distraction so I can yes. get through the list. That's the key yes. thing, is that is the list, is turning off awesome. The thing, because people just want to come at you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and then you tend to get distracted, definitely. Yes. And we talked about your personal motto.
Yes.
So what would you do different if you were given another chance?
They're together. Drop my yes. ego at a very young age. I was pretty egotistical that I knew it all mm-hmm. and I knew how to make money and get out of my way. Because I was very successful at a very young age in corporate mm-hmm. world, like 24. And I didn't realize that my ego was probably as big as Texas at that time. but more importantly, try not to do business as a man. That's been the hardest one. I would have liked had someone to teach me at a young age mm-hmm. on how to be in business as a woman. That's the one thing I would say. If I have a daughter right now or someone I could tell that to at a young age mm-hmm. is how to be in business as a woman. You don't have to be a man to be strong in business.
Are there any key distinctions that we should keep in mind?
Yeah. I don't think I think women, if they're strong in business, have that notion that they're a bitch. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Men
mm-hmm.
like, oh, you're strong. Look at you. You're a leader. You do right. not have to be a bitch to be a leader. Being a leader is stepping into who you are as feminine power. Being a woman and being your own feminine power is powerful enough. You mm-hmm. don't have to have that aggressiveness. You can just mm-hmm. be standing in who you are, and that is being a leader.
Nice.
So I think that's the key distinction that I've had to learn over the years.
Yes, absolutely. I like that. All right, Ms. Heather, and what is the best way to reach you?
Heatherhavenwood.com, and in that area, the upper right-hand side says Work with Heather, and you're welcome to fill that out, and we get on a consultation, and we can talk about me working with you. I work one-on-one best with people who are either in the information marketing business or want to get started in the information marketing business.
Perfect.
So that's me.
Neat. Awesome, and I'll put all of your links in there and your LinkedIn.
Yes.
And your Twitter? Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Heather, for coming on and having a fun, fun conversation. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to take a ton away from it today.
Thank you.
So that was Heather Ann Havenwood. Be sure to link up with her on her social media. All her links are on the show notes page, womanpreneursuccess.com/33. You can link up with me on Facebook at Smita Singh. Yes, I now have a public profile page and also Womanpreneur Success page on Facebook. Don't forget to go on our website, womanpreneursuccess.com, and get my free Womanpreneur Success 7-Day Jumpstart Kit. It'll really help you if you're stuck or just starting out. Once again, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, and thank you so, so very much for letting me hang out in your earbuds. Until next time.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.